This is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, thanks to polymorphgames.com.au. Originally broadcast on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Oh, what a lovely day it is, Mark, isn't it?
It is a lovely day.
Excellent. Welcome to the show. Tonight is the 6th of April. It is episode 160 of The Dice Men Cometh, which tonight is sponsored by our good friends at Polymorph Games and Hobbies.
Absolutely.
Now, Leon.
Yes.
Can you just turn your headset off and close your eyes and ears? Because I've got a secret that you cannot hear.
Okay, I will attempt to do that.
All right, he's done it.
So, Mark.
Garth.
Leon is in his last few days of being 29.
29?
Before he turns 30.
Oh, old man.
Should we get him a present?
No.
All right. But we are going to the escape room to celebrate his birthday.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we get him to put his headphones back on, how about we sing happy birthday?
All right, that'll let's do that. Him. All right. Leon, you can come back.
Oh, hello. What did you say about me?
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, Happy birthday to you.
I haven't got time for that because tonight is a jam-packed show full of jam and packs. And most importantly, we are going to start in a very condensed but possibly not talk about what you have been playing this week, Leon. Is that right?
We certainly are. I'm going to be talking 5-minute dungeon.
And we'll hopefully talk about it for more than 5 minutes. Then, Mars, how many pages full of Kickstarter updates did you bring today?
Many?
I think you've broken Kickstarter with the amount of copying and pasting you've done.
Well, I can tell you that at the moment there are 266 live board games on Kickstarter. In fact, maybe more because that was late last night. There's probably more by now. There is so many.
Yep.
I've got a good half dozen or a half dozen good, whichever way you look at it, Aussie Kickstarters tonight. And then a whole bunch of others.
Maybe we should buy Leon a present because surely he won't have any money after backing 260-something Kickstarters.
Well, that makes sense. Or you can just, buy those tickets to Japan we were talking about.
Anyway, okay, sorry, fine. My headphones weren't working then, Leon. But also, if we have time, we will mention a little quiz night that we attend to and then some. But anyway, all that and more on tonight's episode of The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
And that was Aurora. She's gone. She's gone with the murder song here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. With the Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored tonight by Polymorph Games and Hobbies, purveyors of the finest games and merchandise, Garth.
Wow, you just wanted to say purveyors, didn't you?
It's a good word.
It is now. Now, Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon.
Yes.
Tell us about this little game that you and me and him have all been playing this week.
I've played this, of what the normal what we've been playing as we do, I think I've played this one more than nearly any of the ones we talk about.
Yeah, wow.
Because it only takes 5 minutes, and then you want to play it again, so it ends up taking a lot longer. However, so 5-minute dungeon that I recently received from Kickstarter by a Canadian company, Wiggles 3D, which is just batting 1,000 when it comes to a name.
Really?
Yeah, Wiggles 3D, how good's that?
How have the Wiggles, the Australian children's thing, not patented that name? Anyway.
That's a fair point, So it was designed by Connor Reed, who is the in-house designer at Wiggles 3D. Just want to say it again. I've got to say that as much as I can before I turn 30 and I'm not allowed to say fun words anymore.
Then you get to say tax return and mortgage.
And sweater.
Yes.
And purveyors.
Exactly. So it's a chaotic, cooperative, real-time card game in which players only have 5 minutes to escape the randomized dungeon. Communication and teamwork are critical to survive because there's no time to form a carefully considered plan and no predicting what dangers lie ahead.
That is very, very true. Although it must be said, the full game, she doesn't go for 5 minutes.
Well, it depends how good you are at this. First time I played this with some friends, they played it and they won the first round with 3 seconds left to go.
Yeah, wow.
Which, after playing it several times, they must be awfully stupid because we always seem to get through that one relatively quick. Except for tonight, which was a slight exception, which we will get to.
We will get to that.
So there are no turns. Everybody races against the clock to slap down symbols that match the current cards that are up, and with only 5 minutes to defeat the dungeon, there is absolutely no time to waste.
That's true, although there is time for pizza every so often.
Yes.
And fortunately, which I'm sure you'll get to, each person or each character has a little ability.
Yeah.
And thankfully, my ability tonight was being able to stop the clock until someone played a card, which allowed us to pause the game while we had some pizza.
Which is a very good thing. So players assume the role of one of 10 heroes. So I should mention, I forgot to say, this is between a 2 to 5 player game, supposedly. We'll get to that. But there's 10 characters to choose from, but it's 5 double-sided boards. So on one side there is, say, a paladin. On the other side is, say, the Valkyrie. So you pick one or the other. And then there's different characters, like there's barbarians, there's a ninja, Valkyrie, huntress, all sorts of crazy things. And every character has different special ability, as well as they have special cards in their deck, like things like the barbarian has things like power up, which gives them a stronger hand, things like the mage has throw fireball, which kills monsters instantly. But everybody's, deck is slightly different. So, like, your ninja will have more agility cards, your mage will have more magic cards, that kind of thing.
Now, I really like the variability in this, and it's great that every one of the double-sided player boards, when you flip it over, it isn't just the male and female equivalent of the same character. You've got 10 different characters. Now, you backed this one through Kickstarter.
Yes.
Were they stretch goals to get more characters?
No.
Is that how the game went? It was always like that.
It's, from what I recall... maybe, no, because think of the way the games play. It is relatively balanced to those five. There's 5 different symbols you can use to defeat creatures and stuff.
Yep.
And there's 5 different kind of races, which are certain strength and certain things. So I believe that, it is 5 for 5.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So like I said, that's all relatively good. And then there is the 5-minute timer. You can download a timer app, or you could just use your phone or your microwave for a laugh if you want. Want to chuck some foil or a CD in there while you're at it?
My microwave's too busy spying on me.
Although it probably... Okay, that's another story we should talk about. Either way...
or not.
So on the official timer, there was two different voices. There was Connor, who was your typical, are you ready for an adventure type guy? And then there was Jess, who my wife is convinced that I'm leaving her for, because she was a sexy Irish lass, which I quite enjoyed.
Ooh. And she only needs you for 5 minutes.
Yes. And she's lucky there, because it might happen. But as of today, they added a third voice for the timer, which is a man by the name of John Bailey, which a lot of people will know from his YouTube Honest Trailers video, which he's been doing for about 5 or 6 years, that are hilarious and absolutely massive. So when we went in tonight, we went, ooh, there's a third one.
Yes.
Which is always nice.
Let's listen to him.
Yeah. So once the 5-minute timer starts, the race is to defeat all the monsters that are inside the dungeon. So in order to defeat a monster, players must match symbols from their hand with the ones on the monsters in front of them. At the end of each dungeon as well, there is a powerful dungeon boss. And then there's... once the first boss is defeated in that 5 minutes, then everyone gets their cards back and everything, and then you go again. But the boss you've got to defeat the second time is much more difficult. And you keep going, and the dungeon is randomized different each time. Different cards come in or out, depending. And then you go to the 5th boss, which is the final boss, which is the dungeon master. And if you can defeat him, you've won. So theoretically, you could play through all this game. Obviously, the setup, there's normally a big pile of cards at the end of the game because you're very quickly swiping it away, and people will see that when we post the video. We played this the other day. But you could play this entire game in about half an hour because the rules explanation takes about 2 minutes, and there's a video on their Kickstarter page, which I think is 2.5 minutes.
Sure.
Which literally gives you, I think, every rule in the game.
Yep, of which there are not many.
No.
The hardest thing to figure out with the very limited time and the fact that you're trying frantically to read your cards while contribute is all the little special ability cards. That's the hardest part, I think, of trying to manage your hand in this.
Yeah, because like I said, each race has a different abilities that sometimes a card will come in your hand that actually has words on it and you've got to go, oh!
Yeah.
But each character only has 3 or 4 of them, so after a playthrough or two, you kind of get your head around them anyway.
Excellent.
Also, in the Kickstarter edition, and I should mention as well, we don't actually know if this is coming to retail or not. We actually inquired with Wiggles 3D. We just haven't heard a response for them yet.
Inquired with who?
Wiggles 3D.
Ah, okay.
The wiggliest, wiggliest of 3Ds. To find out if it is, because I do hope it is, because in my final thoughts, I might tell you that I enjoy this game a bit. But in the Kickstarter exclusives, there was 2 extra bosses. So after you defeat the normal 5, you could then go extra awesome and try to defeat the next 2 after that. So there was a 6th boss and then the 7th boss, which is the Dungeon Master final form. So like any good video game, you beat the boss, but like, no, you haven't defeated his final form yet. And also in this game, if you were to lose at any point, say lose on the 3rd try through, the 3rd dungeon, the 3rd boss, you then go back to the start and have to go through all the dungeon again, starting with the 1st one, which is the baby barbarian is the 1st boss.
Yes.
And the Kickstarter exclusive actually has a little baby barbarian figure.
Which is cool and completely useless.
And very cute and actually rather sharp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I right. wouldn't have thought so.
But so the blood that's on that his sword isn't actually meant to be there, is that right?
It hurt me. Yeah, and the art for this is very, very cartoony, very cute. Absolutely beautiful. I love the art. It's 10 on 10 for me for the theme and the style that they're going for. And the actual cards itself that you're fighting, there's different... There's the normal deck that you're going through. There's three different kinds. There's monsters, people, or obstacles that you fight. And then for every player that's playing the game, you add two cards from this other deck, which has this big skull on the door, which you know is going to be more difficult. So they're either mini-bosses, which are harder to defeat because you can't use special abilities to do them, and they take more symbols, or there are events, which do great things like give everyone extra cards to draw, or then the very next card do horrible things like everyone discards their cards.
Oh, what a combo that was.
Or everyone pass their hand to somebody else, or horrible, horrible things like that. But, you know, it's cool. And all the different art as well, you can't really enjoy it when you're playing through the game, because it's very frantic, as you will see. But there's some awesome art in there with things like there's the jack-o'-lanterns, so the big muscular jack-o'-lanterns. There's a very long loading screen is one of the cards, and we know how horrible they are. There is the creature of unfathomable evil, which is just a cat pushing a bottle of wine off a table.
Okay.
Which only fair. A cactus that only wants a hug, which is fair enough. And my favourite one by far, which was two elves, one bow.
Now, I can honestly say, having played this now twice, I haven't noticed the art one little bit, apart from the baby boss mini and the baby the final boss card, because that's the one you only have any time to look at.
Yeah, because those other cards, they do go so quickly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to me, the comparison with this game is something like Escape Curse of the Temple, where you're rolling your die, you're throwing them in as a team to get through room after room after room to get out of the temple before it collapses. But I guess the comparison is only as good as the fact that it's a speed game, you're playing in real time, you're all contributing as a group. That's probably as far as it goes, because it's not really like anything that I've ever played before apart from that.
No, it is relatively unique. And that's the thing that I wanted to touch on, that I enjoyed this game, but I think the mechanics and the idea of this game are absolutely brilliant. And I hope these guys would do more with it. Like, this is a game that's begging for, you could easily add plenty of expansions over the years to add more bosses or characters or dungeon cards. That's all you needed to add. If you wanted to add other modules that change things, sure. Yep. But you absolutely don't do. You could just add more to this. So if Wiggles 3D, I said it again because it's fun, if they don't take the ball and run with it with this, I would think this is a game that I would love to see a bigger company snap up and go, right, it's really good. It fills a niche that nothing else in our library does, and let's just start pumping it out.
But if they do the same thing again, they won't be able to refer to it as Newneek, because it'll be old Neek next time.
Oh, is that what I said? Yes. Well, I can't speak good. I'm not an adult.
No, look, I actually thought that was a really great term, because it's new and it is unique. So really, it is Newneek.
Well, if we can get it in the dictionary, that would be a thing.
All right.
All right, so before we talk about our actual thoughts, we should talk about the number of players in this game.
Definitely.
Because the first time I played it with five people. Mm-hmm. So that's the max that you can play it with. And those guys, when they played it, they got through it all. Their first game, they got through all of it. So they got through, not to the seventh boss, they just got through the normal to the fifth boss and then beat it.
Yep.
By the skin of their teeth, but they got there. And that was really fun. Then we played it the other weekend. We played just one round, which is what we filmed, which we'll put up on Facebook or Instagram or whatever later. We went through one round of that and smashed it. Really good, as four players. Tonight, we went to play it as three players, and we came across what I believe is the issue with this game, is that the only difference between the deck of, say, three players and four players, the only difference between what you're fighting is two of those harder cards that I said. So for every person, you add two. If it's four players, you've got 28 cards to get through. If it's three players, it's 26 cards.
Yep.
But the difference is, the deck is only two short, but you have then lost an entire character, an entire deck of their cards, which is 40 cards, and their special abilities.
Yeah, it's massive.
So what you lose is insane. And when you get to that final fifth form of the boss, you have to go through, I think, 50 cards plus two of the special ones, depending on the players. So if you're playing this two player, you'd have to go through 54 cards, then defeat the final boss, which is heaps of symbols. I haven't worked it out mathematically, but if you had only two players playing it, I don't even know if that's possible.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it's possible. I don't think they released a game where something was impossible, but the difficulty on that would be through the roof.
Yeah.
Well, I actually wondered whether you maybe just need to massage the special abilities a bit more, because as long as you've got one of those special abilities where it's like discard and draw more cards or let someone else draw more cards.
Yes.
You're sort of in the hunt. But if you all have discard to kill a monster, discard to kill an obstacle and something else, and you don't have a way of getting new cards apart from what you've got in your hand into the pool, you're screwed, basically, aren't you, if you come to one of those impasses?
Yeah, because as soon as you can't draw more cards, that's basically your life as well.
And a mini-boss is not a monster or an obstacle or a person.
Nope.
So none of those abilities will help you either.
So even if you load up your characters that each have the ability of, I can destroy a person, he can do obstacle, he can do monster. So any card that comes out that isn't a mini-boss, we can destroy. Then you get to a mini-boss.
Yeah.
You've got no special cards in your hand that let you draw or change it. You're missing one of the symbols. You're done.
Game over.
And when we played three players, we got to the baby barbarian. We were playing with three characters that weren't very agility strong.
Nope.
We couldn't draw any more cards. We didn't have... I think that we needed three agility. I don't think we had one of them.
Nope.
And then that was it.
That was it. Game over.
We got there with 2.5 minutes to spare, absolutely hammered it, and then game over because we didn't have it.
But the good thing is this isn't a long game where that really, really matters.
Exactly.
And that's a really good plus against this game is that, you can just find this roadblock where you just go, nothing we can do, guys. There's absolutely no way around this. All right, well, let's spend the 1 minute we need to get our decks back in order, and then away we go again.
Yeah, so I'll let you guys say your thoughts, because my final thoughts are very simple, that I think this game's great. If you can pick it up or play it, certainly do it. However, it's a 4-to-5-player game.
Yeah.
2-to-3-player, play something else. Don't even consider...
Play Twilight Struggling.
I mean, it's 5 minutes. You can do it for a laugh if you want, but it's not. 4-to-5 players, this is an awesome game.
Yeah, I think I commented on my Instagram picture that this is, for me, almost the perfect, hey, come in, guys, sit down, here's the table, shut up, we're going to play this game for 5 minutes, then we'll talk about what we're going to play. Like, get the party going right away with 4 or 5 players, and your blood. Actually, I wanted to ask you, though, Leon, with 3 players, we had 4 cards in our hand.
Yes.
With 4 players, we had 3 cards in our hand.
Yes.
Does it change for five?
No, five players, you still have 3 cards in your hand.
So 5 really is giving you, like, a huge advantage, isn't it?
Yeah. We discussed before, the less players you have, the less you go down to the point where it's not even really... Like, if you have 2 players, I think you have a hand of 5, but it doesn't matter. Because if you don't have those extra decks, extra abilities, it doesn't matter how many cards you got in your hand at all.
Yeah, the only thing I would like to see for the full game is some XP sort of style of system where you might be able to get a bonus card or two into your deck or a bonus ability or something.
Upgrade your ability,
Because that's a brilliant idea.
Those monsters, the final bosses, go from acquiring 6 cards... or 6 symbols to defeat them, to 9 symbols, to 11, to I don't even know what the final bosses do, but they require a lot of symbols.
It's a lot of symbols and a lot of cards. And by that time, obviously, you've fought even through more other dungeon bits, so you've got even less cards to do. So it
even if it was something like you could pick 1 card that you played that counted as double or something like that for a mini-boss.
And I think expansion-wise for this game, it's got to be one of the easiest games I could think of for expansions. You just said then XP to add extra cards per different dungeon. That's brilliant. I think anybody could figure out an expansion for this game relatively easy. Some other games you think, how are they going to put in new modules or whatever for this? I don't know how it's going to work. This game, I think you could knock out a few without breaking a sweat, which is a great thing.
Cool. Well, there you go. Leon likes this game. Mark likes this game. Garth likes this game. If you can get this game, it's good. Is that right, Liam?
Yeah, well, although I like it now, but in a few days, once I'm 30, I probably won't like it because the colours will be too much for my eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too bright and too colourful, and I think I'll be busy doing my taxes.
Because
I do have to do taxes 11 months out of the year. Is that how
something
it works?
Something like that, yeah.
Leon, there is a baby in this game, and, well, I hate to tell you, once you hit 30, that biological clock starts ticking.
No. More cats, please.
Cats. Or in your case, meowing.
Yeah. They had more to the song, apparently. So that was Mainland by Lincoln Lefevre on Edge Radio 99.3 FM and the Dice Men Cometh. This week brought to you by polymorphgames.com.au. If you can't get down to your local brick-and-mortar store but want to throw some money to good old Australians, that's as close as you're going to get.
In fact, he's even Tasmanian.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, team.
Yeah. Are we sitting down?
Take a breath. Because I'm going to talk to you about And the Love Kick Starts Again.
You forgot your USB, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. But it's okay. I'm sure everyone's had enough of that song over the years. Look, like I mentioned, last night when I sat down to do my research half-heartedly, there were 266 live board game tabletop projects, including a role-playing game, on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Now, one of those probably will be finished by the time this podcast, well, in fact, it will be, by the time this podcast goes out. But for people who are listening live, you've still got 12 hours to get on board Jelly Bean Games, who, of course, Dice Lady Tanya has done the amazing art for Lady and the Tiger. This has gone gangbusters, so it's just about to wrap up, but they've gone over 50,000. I think they're only after about four or four and a half. Amazing art by Tanya. Really great little game that has gone not only from two players, which is what it started out to be, but now it includes a game, I think, for four and another game up to six.
Yes, three modes.
With the stretch goals they've got there. Just an awesome little game. And did I mention the art? It is beautiful. Tanya has done an amazing job. So if you're listening live, what are you waiting for? Get on it. If you're listening to the podcast, of course we know you've already backed it because we've talked about it quite a few times. Now, there are a number of other Kickstarters, Australian Kickstarters, on Kickstarter. That's, of course, that's where they are. Of course, if you've listened the last couple of weeks, you would have heard our fantastic ads for the Smiths of Winterforge Comedy Gold.
Yeah, with Ravens.
Ravens.
And Reasons.
Yeah. So Table Tyrant Games, they've still got 18 days to go, but it's going gangbusters. They're over 40,000K, so they're over 200% funded. And as we mentioned, look, it's a great Euro-style game with cards and a nice board artwork or graphic design by Ian O'Toole, where you're forging different metals and rare elements and jewels and things like that into items as a dwarven smith.
Yarr.
So it's definitely worth checking it out.
Well, yep. How many Euro-style games do we do in Australia? There's not. Is there any?
Do we play? Do we make?
I don't know. As in, I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Not many big box type games.
No, that's
not
my point.
On Kickstarter, that's for sure. Mostly they are, you know, Peter Hawes and people like that. They're coming out through big manufacturers.
Yep.
So it is rare as far as that goes. Definitely worth checking out, though. Now, to take a timey-wimey twist.
Okay.
Into the world of role-playing games, we've got Retro Causality.
Ooh.
Produced by Paul Etten Matijevic out of Sydney. Now, this was actually originally released in 2013 as a little, just a papery book, bits and pieces. So he's managed to get it on Kickstarter, produce a really professional-looking version. It's a fairly light role-playing game, and it actually uses playing cards to resolve the outcomes.
I see.
Sorry, I just saw an image on the computer that actually says what I thought it said.
Yeah, it says Hitler punch. That's right. So look, time travel is always fun. And how you resolve things in here is you basically just use a deck of cards. You draw a card. If the suit matches, then you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
If the color matches, you're successful but not quite as successful and something sort of bad happens.
Mm.
And then if neither of those match, then things went bad.
Ba-bow.
So, look, that's a really simple little system. Now, guys,
mm-hmm.
get your wallets out.
Okay.
This is $6.
What?
For your PDF version.
Okay.
Obviously, you can get a soft cover, and I think he's even hoping to get a hard cover. But, look, for $6, if you want to try out this rules-light time travel role-playing game system that has been around for a little while, so it's had a bit of a run, it's definitely worth having a look, okay? Another Aussie Kickstarter. Did I mention there's lots of Aussie Kickstarters?
You sure did.
Peter Sanderson from Melbourne, again, another reprint/expansion. This is Mothership. It's a space battle, dice combat, spaceship mini tabletop game with your hex map, your tech tree. Does it sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a Twilight Imperium twist with your little plastic spaceships, but you're not paying thousands of dollars for this. $69.
Okay.
Now,
the board looks quite nice.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so it's not a lot. They're going for 45,000. Now, it's only been out a couple of days, but already they're getting close to 12,000. So this one does need a bit of help. So get behind it if you're into your little pew-pew spaceships. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does. And look, it did get originally printed off a couple of years ago from a successful Kickstarter. So obviously,
yeah. You
know, they're hoping for bigger and better things to come. Yeah, look, it's a decent target, so I hope it gets there.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And there's also an expansion of the original game in this. So they've done a fair bit with it, but looks really fun. Ultimate Troll. So think your sort of fluxy, munchkin-y type weight of game, but much more fun because
it's got trolls.
This one is out of Bris Vegas, Damien Schneider. Now, it's got 11 days to go, but it's already funded. It's 150% or so funded. It's only $16 Australian, and I think that includes shipping. So, look, it's really cheap. There's lots of fun art with the trolls. It does look like a real fun, quick game. Oh, no, there's a little bit of shipping. Thanks, Garf. Yeah, so $22. But look, it's a fun, light game playing in less than half an hour. Lots of funny, trolly stuff. Definitely worth a check out as another Aussie Kickstarter. Back on the role-playing bandwagon. Now, we love our music here in The Dice Men Cometh and in Edge Radio.
Well, we don't love your music all the time, but collectively as a genre, we like music.
But, yes. You know, when you're playing your role-playing game, and as a GM, not that I've ever been one, but I'm sure as a GM, you want to try and set the scene. So when you're setting the scene, what better way to set the scene than with music?
Yeah.
Now, not only is this 50-plus tracks for you to play as background for your role-playing game, but it's actually got a website that goes with it with all sorts of buttons and widgets and squiggles.
A website, you say?
So you can,
widgets?
Rather than having to scroll through your iPod or whatever you're using to find the right track, the website is set up as like a control panel.
Okay.
So you can play the music in the background for when it gets dark and foreboding, or when it's light and funny and you're having fun in the tavern or whatever. So, as I said, 50-plus tracks. It's only $10 for the digital download.
What is the name of this thing that you are talking about you haven't mentioned?
It's called Adventurer's Collection.
Okay.
The Tabletop Soundtrack. So excited by all these Kickstarters, I just get carried away.
Clearly.
So it's 100% original music.
Yep.
And as I said, it's got this custom-made website where you can activate the track so you can create that atmosphere for your role-playing game.
That's cool.
Okay. And as I said, look, only $10 to download it and access this website. So dirt cheap for 50 and more original tracks. And I believe he's actually going to add more. There's a teaser on the Kickstarter page so you can hear the sort of atmospheric tracks. But look, I love a bit of music with my role-playing games.
And this is all original music.
Absolutely. And
wow. All
Australian as well.
Fantastic.
Okay.
That's cool.
Now, this one a little bit out there as far as what we normally cover. We're not big minis fans.
Some of us are.
Just because I buy them doesn't mean I'm... They just happen to be in the games I like.
Yeah, well, look, I did get myself the X-Wing Minis game, tried to play with my son. Of course, because it was me, it just became more of a collection than a game. But Jean-Noël Senichler from Adelaide has come up with a storage for your X-Wing ships, using 3D printing. So he's basically made these little tiny trays that fit the ships almost perfectly, and then they all have little like jigsaw-y type pieces on the edge, so you join them together, they stack. Huh. There's one for every different type of X-Wing ship that's available.
Yeah, wow.
And you purchase them by each ship is worth a certain number of points. So you can say, I want to buy 100 points of trays. That's a certain cost. I don't know what it is. But there's a whole range of different lots you can buy. And then you basically build whatever you need for your little collection. They all clip together. They stack. Keep your beautiful little ships, because those X-Wing ships are awesome.
Yep.
Painted really lovely. It's a great storage solution for those.
They do look great, but that's definitely one of those things when we tell people about this hobby and they say, you spent money on what?
Yep.
Is it a game? No, it's a plastic to go around, a bit of a game.
It's an addiction.
That's right.
This makes this kind of game, which unless you've got a solution, it's not very portable.
Yeah. No, it's
so not. So to be able to make a portable carrier for these kind of minis games, fantastic.
And look, it's going gangbusters. So it's still got 12 days to go. He's already raised over 10,000, so it's over 300% funded. I mean, this is the sort of thing that the beauties of 3D printing will do for you, because this guy is a designer in his day job, and so what he does is, even when a new model is going to come out, he can whip up a design in less than a day and be printing the modules.
Mm.
So this storage solution could go on forever. So look, I was just really impressed. It's a unique thing.
It's unique.
It's unique.
Yeah.
Now let's go across the pond to our friends across the Dutch. Not across the pond because that's England. Across the Dutch, Dragon Eye Tavern. Now you might have heard this game before. Because it came out before. But now we've got a second edition.
And because you have ears. Yeah. Yes, apparently.
There we go.
So Studio 4AM have produced this. It's a card game, deck building game. It's very much your anime-inspired art, lots of gratuitous cleavage. But the art is really nice, apart from the gratuitous cleavage, of course.
What do you mean apart from? Don't lie to the people.
Look, they've cleaned up the game. They've introduced lots of extra cards. And there has been some complaint, not about this game, but about particularly the next thing I'm going to talk about. You know, second editions coming to Kickstarter and being basically just an opportunity to do a reprint.
What's the Dragon Eye? What's that got to do with the Dutch again? Is it the Dutch that made it?
No, the Dutch.
Oh, what?
It's how the New Zealanders say ditch.
Oh.
Mark, you know how he's famous for puns and accents?
And accents.
Well, I was going to say, I married into the Dutch, so we should get a free copy. But apparently we're talking about two completely different things.
You don't want to marry into that Dutch.
I don't know what's happening.
Anyway, so Dragon Eye Tavern, it's a second edition.
I need some slippers and a lie down.
It's the second edition.
Oh, we'll get him some slippers.
Okay. My wife's been all week saying, I'm going to get you some slippers. I'm going to get you the greyest, ugliest slippers in the world. No, stop it.
And Homer Simpson head. Oh, you stick your foot into Homer Simpson's head stickers.
Jeez.
Donuts. Anyway, sorry, it's the second edition. You know, they've done lots of refining. And to me, when the second edition comes out, I think, great, they've already had a chance to get the bugs out. They can introduce some more interesting elements, get rid of the rubbish out of it. I think it's not a bad thing. So check out Dragon Eye Tavern. It's already funded. It's got 21 days to go, but it is a really nice-looking game.
And made by the Dutch and the New Zealand people.
Yeah. Should we talk about something that's also got another edition coming
well,
out?
Well, that leads me into, of course,
a tiny little game.
A little tiny game called Gloomhaven. I can hardly even speak it. It's so big.
Yes.
Gloomhaven.
So Gloomhaven's second edition.
Second printing.
Has hit Kickstarter. Firstly, $99, chaps.
I know. And what's the shipping?
$10 shipping to Australia.
Really?
Virtually zero shipping for a box that is bigger than my bank account.
That's amazing. It'd be nice if you actually got it, though.
Well, the thing about this is because it's actually a reprint.
A reprint?
Asterisk. They're going to turn it around pretty quickly, and I think this is going to ship as early as August.
Yeah.
So, put
that into comparison, because what was the little normal card-based RPG that you talked about? Sort of second one you said, the Aussie game?
Retro Causality.
So that uses an existing deck of cards. That's coming out in December.
Oh.
So Gloomhaven, which is arguably one of the biggest games in physical size, is going to be just as soon as this Kickstarter ends. Well, probably already. It is just already just coming off the Chinese shelves, going boom, 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 being printed.
They've got a lot of them just lying around, haven't they? Because they didn't give them to the last people that ordered them.
Well, the thing is, they gave them to the Kickstarter backers.
Yeah.
But they maybe weren't able to then send the copies that they might have promised to Australian retailers. Yeah. But anyway.
You can see the pros and cons with this, because, you know, on one hand, people are saying, why doesn't he just print a squillion copies? Because they're going to sell and ship them out to retailers and let the poor retailers make some money. That's a fair argument. However, at the same time, this is not Cool Mini or Not or Queen Games or something like that. This is a guy, Isaac Childress, who basically doesn't have a squillion dollars in his bank account to go over to China and hire five factories.
He probably does now, actually. After
well, to fund this stuff. So I think, on that hand, Kickstarter is the perfect platform. Now, there has been some changes. So he has included some solo rules and some solo what's the word I'm looking for, like modules.
Yes.
There are a couple of extra counters and things like that, but the changes are quite minor, and that's
the
argument. Yeah,
I think that's an updated rule book or scenario book, which basically got rid of a couple of little just errors, I think.
Yeah, but look, for people who missed out the first time, who missed out on retail, how can you knock back to Australia $109 when I think the retail price was it $160, $180,
something like that? Yeah. And you know, people were jumping over themselves to try and get a copy at that price. Now, what I find really interesting about this is also on the front banner of the Gloomhaven page, it's got this big green banner that says Board Game Geek's overall rankings and a number there. During the life of the campaign, of which has been 5 days, it started at the number 11th game.
When I saw it, it was 10.
It was 10 yesterday or this morning.
Yeah.
It's now the number 9 game of all time. So even in the last week of this thing being live.
This campaign has only been going for 2 days,
Two days.
So say, when I, almost 24 hours ago when I was looking at this, it was 10.
Wow.
And obviously it started at 11.
Yeah.
I mean, this game is just going berserk. And I wondered, actually, if this might overtake Rising Sun, which just finished recently. And I think that was... 4 and a bit million?
Yeah, just over 4 million.
Is what that raised. And that has been the largest board game as opposed to Lionkins, that silly card game with cats that got 8 million. But in terms of board games, Rising Sun was the biggest board game on Kickstarter in terms of dollars-wise.
What about Zombie Side that makes like 10 million?
Did it really?
Yeah, 4 million by Rising Sun is surely not the largest one.
But I'm talking about real board games.
Well,
it's another conversation, guys. Yeah, but look, what it says is that, you know, clearly there has been a game that lived up to the hype because, you know, all of us are subscribed to various buy and sells and trades within the Australian market anyway and a few internationally. This game is not being divvied up after someone plays it once and goes, you know what, it's not really to my liking.
I have not spotted one single copy that someone is trying to move on. And with these big-name Kickstarters, there's usually a heap of them.
Exactly.
We're all anxious to get a copy, and there's a cheap one. So, look, we'll see what happens. Now, I've got a bit more to talk about, but I think we should have a break, and we'll come back and talk about a few more amazing Kickstarters.
Hey, it's Trent, Mark and Garth, the Dice Men. How good is this show?
It's awesome.
I don't know. It's okay from time to time.
Would you pay a dollar a week? I mean, given that you get it for free now.
A dollar a week?
Or maybe a dollar a month. Is that more reasonable?
Yeah.
Given that it is, like, free.
Oh, yeah. I reckon it's worth $50 a week. Yeah. I think that's what you guys said you'd pay me when we started this thing, didn't you?
Not unless we get a hell of a lot of support from our listeners via... Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Internet money.
The Dice Men Cometh Patreon page is now on. What's this all about, please, Garth?
The fact that we create some form of quality content every week or so.
Some form.
For you and for us. Every single week. We love what we do, but we also love money.
The key thing is we want to spread the word so we can do some advertising, so we can travel to board game conventions, to spread the Dice Men love, to do recordings at conventions so that the people who can't get there can hear all about how awesome we are.
The Dice Men want to spread ourselves across this wide brown...
sunburnt country.
Wide brown land, and that just takes time because we're down here in Tassie. We're going to get ourselves to the major conventions around the country, and that is how we get more listeners. That is how our show gets better, and we need you to help us, please.
We are the most Girt by Sea podcast in all of Australia,
damn,
I would imagine.
Damn straight! So get onto patreon.com, search up Dice Men Cometh, and give us your money!
Or hit the button on the website.
Which website?
DiceMenCometh.com.
Oh, that was terribly exciting. So that was Candy by Weaves and Dear Nora by Girlpool on Edge Radio 99.3 FM and the Dice Men Cometh. This week brought to you by polymorphgames.com.au, Australia's 100% owned and operated quality products at unbeatable prices. And at the moment, you can get an extra special percent off if you type in the terribly creative code of podcast when you place an order, all in capital letters.
And they've already got some of the lowest prices around, so you're going to go super low, low, low.
Exactly.
How low will you go?
Anyway, back to Kickstarter.
Yes.
So Tim Fowers, we all that know that name from Burgle Brothers,
yep,
and Paperback, and
Fugitive that I just got, and you guys haven't played yet because you won't play it with me.
But so, anyway. Well, it's only a two-player game, Garth.
Yeah. Is that one player too many for you, Mark?
It is, yes. So, the prequel, haha pun, to Paperback is Hardback. It's another deck-building word game. So it's quite a few revisions of the Paperback deck-building game with words, with some mystery wilds and things like that. Looks a lot of fun. As usual with Tim Fowers, the art looks fantastic. I can't remember the name of the
Roddenberry
guy.
Is it Roddenberry again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not Gene Roddenberry.
No. Someone else.
Yeah, yeah, that guy. He does some awesome art. Garth will look it up somewhere. But look, it's only $27 and $6 shipping to Oz. So Tim Fowers games are always worth checking out.
Yep.
That's Hardback. Now, speaking of games going kickbusters on gang sites.
God, for the love of...
878 Vikings Invasion of England. Now,
is that how many minis you get?
No. Almost. So... Academy Games, a little old game company from the banks of the Ohio, they had a couple of successes with 1812, The Invasion of Canada, and then 1775 Rebellion, which is another American war of independence.
Yeah.
So these are war games with little minis, big maps, been really popular. I know, I think 1775 Rebellion won an Origins Award in 2014 when it came out. It won the Golden Geek.
It was good.
Best War Game Award when it came out. So 878 Vikings.
So basically this is the TV show Vikings that's out at the moment. This is the board game version of that.
Not really. Look, it's a big war game.
It is, because that show is historically accurate. Okay. It is the same.
It's a great big game, but it's only $65 and $25 shipping. And there is... literally won a gazillion stretch goals unlocked on this game. Couple of quick ones. Infected, it's a social deduction game when one player is the plague doctor spreading the bubonic plague.
Yay!
Sounds like fun.
It does.
It's got some really lovely art, actually. Well, lovely. Interesting, sinister art. Only $15 plus $4 shipping to Australia. And... again, going gangbusters, like 1,000% funded or something ridiculous with 18 days to go. Now, Leon?
Yes?
Here's one for you and your lovely lady wife.
Oh, is this going gangbusters as well? I hear everything is these days.
Is it because he's going to turn a milestone birthday and this ain't going to happen anymore?
Could be. This is Luck and Love.
Oh, is this the birthday that happened?
A sinfully sexy game for daring couples. Ooh. It's Yahtzee. But each time you fill in a box on your card, you get to complete a sexy challenge.
All right. Should we talk about another game?
It's by Tingle Touch Games from Sweden. And it's only 180 kroner.
Of course.
Which is $20 with free shipping to Australia. How can you resist this, Leon?
Quite easily.
Now, look, one I was really excited about when I saw this, Cytosis. No, it's not a horrible disease.
That you get by playing the sex dice one before.
That's right. It's a board game. It's a worker placement board game about cell biology. Now, I recently completed a university unit in brewing microbiology and learned about a whole bunch of interesting biology stuff. And then I saw this board game and I'm like, look, it's the RNA and the DNA and the proteins and all the other things that I don't remember because it was a very quick unit. But look, this...
great course, sounds like.
This game was the winner of a Stonemaier Design Day Challenge. So it does have a bit of pedigree. It's only got 7 days to go. It's raised over 230,000.
Wow.
And they're only going for 14.5. And the normal version of the game, so non-deluxe, is only $39 plus $12 shipping. Or you can get the deluxe version where it's got like metally bits on the box and it's got sweet little chromosome-shaped meeples and all sorts of crazy stuff is only $49 plus $12 shipping. So it's worker placement, looks absolutely amazing. You actually might learn something, but it's actually also a really great game as well. So Cytosis, check that one out. Couple more quick ones. Sad Piggies. Now, I learned about this today on Instagram when I was having a discussion with a guy who followed us on Instagram, and he had a game called Sad Piggies on Kickstarter, and I'm thinking, what the hell is this about? Well, this is pigs who don't want their bodies to be cut up when they die,
okay,
into bacon and all other sorts of yummy things. So as the pig, you're trying to kill yourself and then dispose of your body before the humans can get to it.
Really?
So there's all sorts of possibilities there.
Okay.
But, hey, it looks interesting. Dig is a push-your-luck light little card game with lovely sort of 8-bit Super NES pixely type art. It's
It looks like Boss Monster.
Yeah. It's 18 euros, although it is 10 euros shipping to Australia,
okay,
which is a lot for a card game. You may have heard of Aeon's End. Well, there's a new standalone expansion for that called Aeon's End War Eternal. Again, this one is also going gangbusters. It's raised $250,000 with 14 days to go. And again, it's only $65, although a bit more shipping for this one, $35.
And it's indie board and card, so I mean, you know the quality is going to
be. Yeah, and you can add the original game and play them together, or you can use it standalone. So it's a deck builder, fantasy stuff, but hey, lots of cooperation. The last one from the group who bought you, Cavern Tavern, Frontier Games, which was another very successful Kickstarter. They've released Rise to Nobility, which it's a dice worker placement game. Build as sort of a combination of Lords of Waterdeep with Kingsburg. And look, this one, it's quite quick, but I tell you what, the stuff in it looks absolutely beautiful. The boards, the cards, the custom dice. And again, they've got a deluxe edition where you got super custom dice.
Whoa.
So check that one out. That is, what did I say it was called? Rise to Nobility, and set in the same fantasy world as Cavern Tavern was.
Anything else?
That is Kickstarter.
Oh, my goodness. That doesn't really give us much time to talk about anything else, does it?
No.
Except we went to a quiz on Saturday night, didn't we, Mark?
We and sure Leon. Did.
Yeah.
Is there anything we want to say about that quiz?
Leon, how did your team go in the quiz?
We were the only team that had a perfect round. I was told that later on that our team won the video game round. We got everyone right and the only team in the whole quiz to do that. So we won morally,
and
I think.
Did you get a prize for that?
No. did you guys get a prize for your performance?
Oh, so glad you asked, Leon. So this was the third Hobart Game Society annual Geek Night. It is the third time that Dicezilla, a combination, an unholy meshing of us at the Dice Men Cometh, and our good friends and fellow podcasters, Nerdzilla, sat down and we tried to be smart. But this time, after years of trying, we were smart.
Successful.
And we were!
It was a fantastic victory by us, and we won by 10 plus points.
It's like basically daylight was second.
You can't actually hear this, but I'm clapping with one finger.
And yeah, we won all sorts of amazing
stuff. We won vouchers,
stuff.
We won cups, coffee mugs, won books, we won memberships to Hobart Game Society itself. How lucky are we?
And we won even more geek credibility than we already had. It's not possible.
So, look, thanks to Hogs for putting on a great night. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, another virtual sellout. It was at the Best Western. Great venue. Good fun all round. Good questions. Looking forward to next year.
And thanks also to Polymorph Games and Hobbies, who are the proud supporters of Australia's finest gaming podcast, The Dice Men Cometh. We're out of here, chaps. We will see you all next week. Check us out on all the social medias.
Doesn't Leon have to close his social media account when he has his next birthday because he'd be too old for it?
I have to open up a new one with different versions.
Yeah, take down all those rude photos and stuff.
I thought it would take too long.
Anyway, we are going to go. You will have a great week. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Ta-ra.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, thanks to polymorphgames.com.au. You can say hello to The Dice Men on Facebook, Instagram, and www.dicemencometh.com. You can support us by leaving a review on iTunes or by becoming a Patreon supporter for as little as just $1 per month. Thank you.